You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Racing Podcast from William Hill. My name is Jack and this is Monday's Racing Podcast. Joining me to take a look at some of the races on the card is Alistair Whitehouse-Jones. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good.
Not bad at all.
And you enjoyed the action on Saturday in the William Hill Racing Radio studio. Gets better and better for Aidan O'Brien, doesn't it?
Indeed, yeah. He's had a stellar season, hasn't he? And yeah, to win his fifth Dewhurst, obviously, with a horse that, without question, has serious classic credentials for next year. You know, the records are not going to stop just yet. It's quite frightening what he could go on to achieve, really. Strength in depth is unprecedented. And, yeah, it's been a great year and it could get even better yet.
Absolutely. What stood out for you on Saturday's card? And there were plenty of options, I suppose, for this answer.
Yeah, I mean, Churchill was the, you know, for me, the obviously the big betting race was the Cesarewitch, but the Dewhurst was the standout feature of the day. And Churchill did what Churchill does best, and that is, you know, he's never a flashy horse in what he does, but he continues to finish the job. He's compiling a very impressive profile, and, you know, any odds-on winner of the Dewhurst is going to be a warm order for the following year's guineas. And, you know, I think Newmarket's made for this horse. He tends to take a bit of stoking up. He just seems to get, I wouldn't say he hits a bit of a flat spot. I think he's just, might be a mental issue as much as anything, but he's, you know, he's always strong through the line. And, you know, his races are pretty much a carbon copy of each other, really, in that he's, you know, it's that tendency to hit a bit of a flat spot, but then he's always well on top, and you just sense that he's got plenty still under the bonnet. And yeah, he's 7-4 with William Hill now for the guineas, and I mean, it's a long way away. I wouldn't even dream of backing him at those odds, but you can see where the bookies are coming from.
Yeah, those people who do like to bet anti-post and with some distance as well before the event can get 7-4. It's under the future races tab on the William Hill website, Caravaggio 6-1 and War Decree 14s, Blue Point 20s, etc. and so on. So that was obviously Churchill, but then, as you say, the biggest betting event was Cesarewitch yesterday. What did you make of the winner?
Yeah, I mean, he was well fancied, sweet selection. I think he was second favourite. It was a funny race. I mean, there was a lot going on. One horse sadly broke down, another one unseated its rider. The one I fancied was the Cashel Man, who came from a different county to finish fourth. He got badly hampered by the one that unseated. Other than that, I think he'd have gone pretty close. But anyway, yeah, sweet selection was in front when it mattered, and yet again it proves an elusive race for Sir Mark Prescott. He had the favourite, of course, and also the wealth. I think he had two of the top three in the betting. Sea of Heaven ended up being his best, with finishing third, and St. Michelle ran a nice race, just was too free and didn't ultimately stay the trip. But I think there's more races to be won with him. But yeah, for once, a fairly predictable Cesarewitch, I guess, with the winner going off in single figures.
Yeah, and the second time that Hugh Morrison and Sylvester D'Souza have won it as well together.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. Yeah, he's a good trainer, Hugh Morrison. He doesn't have a great deal of strength in depth, but he tends to get the best out of what he's got.
Yeah, sweet selection winning at 7-1 in Saturday's Cesarewitch. And any other horse particularly catch your eye? Not necessarily in that race, just generally across Saturday.
Yeah, Chepstow was probably, you know, staged the best jumps meeting of the season so far. I thought there was some really nice performances at the Welsh track, particularly Bally Optic, who won the silver trophy there, the handicap hurdle, and he had a lot of weight for an inexperienced horse. Of course, won a Grade One at Aintree last season, so there was no doubting his class. But, you know, to beat more battle hardened horses with that sort of weight was a really taking performance, and he could be especially when he goes over fences. He could be a star of the future.
Yeah, one to watch as we approach the main body of the jump season coming up. Keep your eye on some of the eye catchers at the moment. We're going to have a look at some of the flat racing, though, on Monday's card. And we're going to start with Salisbury. We're going to look at a couple of races from there. We have one from Windsor as well and one from Yarmouth to go through. But we start with the 4:20 from Salisbury. There's 8 runners at the time of recording in this field, and it's over the 6 furlongs. What do we make of this Class 3 race?
Yeah, it's a good race, this. Few horses returning from some time off with a bit to prove, the likes of Cool Company, Crazy Horse, Estic Car. I mean, he's the selection, Estic Car from the Hannon Yard. He looked a potential top-notcher at the start of his three-year-old campaign. Of course, finished excellent second to the champion sprinter Muhara in the Greenham. I mean, things didn't really go his way after that. He ran moderately in the Guineas and also the Jacques Le Maroir, but we're talking Group 1 events, and here we're looking at a conditions race at Salisbury. If this horse is as good as he was, then he's going to take the world of beating. I mean, he's been off for more than 400 days, but that's never a concern these days with the, you know, trainers are so good, and with the modern day training techniques, this could be the time. I'd rather back them first time out after a long absence than second time out. So, I think Estid Carr is the class act, and he can get his career back on track.
Yeah, for Paul Hannigan and Richard Hannon. So that's the selection in the 4:20 at Salisbury, and we move to an hour later at the same venue for the 5:20. This is a Class 3 race, and it's over the 1.6 mile. Slightly bigger field for you to sift through here with 12 runners.
Yeah, it's a competitive race. Staying handicapped, stamina's going to come to the fore, you would think, over 1.6 miles. The one I like is the Alan King horse, the Otmore Poet. This horse has got a lot of potential stepping up in trip. Last time out at Goodwood, I thought he ran a really good race over 1.3 miles. Was strong in the finish, and that was a tactical affair. I thought he did well to actually finish as close as he did. A lot of the Alan King horses, you know, these sort of horses with this profile will ultimately end up over hurdles. So, you know, stamina is their forte, and I think this three-year-old is mildly progressive. You know, he's got sufficient toe to be competitive over 1.25 miles, but he's definitely going to stay 1.6 miles or perhaps 2 miles. And you know, Salisbury can take some getting. So I think, provided this horse can step up, which you'll need to off its current mark, you'd struggle to call him particularly well handicapped, but you know, I think there's a bit of scope for improvement going up in trip here. So the Otmore Poet is taken to win for Alan King.
Yeah, he has a good, fairly decent run with his flat horses, doesn't he, Alan King, who most people see as obviously a jumps trainer.
Yeah, absolutely. He's had a really good year on the flat, you know, so he'll be hoping he can carry that through to the winter game. I'm surprised, to be honest, a lot more of the flat boys, the jumping trainers don't really take the flat more seriously, because obviously they've got the ammunition. Paul Nichols, for instance, he has a lot of horses off the flat, but doesn't tend to run them back on the level that often, which is rather surprising, but each to their own.
Especially over this kind of distance as well, 1.6 miles.
Absolutely, there's a lot of good races to be won, and this horse will ultimately end up over hurdles, but he'll definitely mix and match, I think, and do, you know, from one code to the other.
Before we move on to Windsor, is there another horse perhaps in the field that we should just keep our eye on at a slightly larger price, perhaps?
I mean, Pleasure Dome is on a roll. You've got to, when they've got so many ones to the name, you get to the, you know, they're obviously getting close to the ceiling of their handicap mark, but there's nothing not to like about that horse, and he should run his race. But I think the Otmore Poet's got that bit more potential over this longer trip.
The Otmore Poet, then, the selection in the 5:20 from Salisbury. We're going off to Windsor, which, of course, has now moved to the afternoon following its summer of evening racing. This is the 4:30 race, and it's over the 1.2 miles. The going is listed as good to firm at the time of recording, which is Sunday afternoon. 10 runners here. What do we make of this one?
Yeah, Eve Johnston Horton's had a very good year, and I think it can continue here with Starlit Cantata. This mare has to be said. I mean, she's 0-13 on turf, which is a bit of a concern, but she's won 4 times on the all-weather, so, you know, she knows how to get the job done. She's fully effective on grass, twice been runner-up, and third on no less than 5 occasions. Don't get overly concerned by those near misses. There's nothing wrong with this horse's attitude. And she's been contesting better races than this. This is a Class 4, and she's been competing in better company than that. Stable, as I said, continues in good form. I think she can make the most of this drop in class. So Starlit Cantata is the selection.
Okay, that's the selection in the 4:30. Any others that particularly we should keep an eye on again?
Yeah, this is, again, this is quite tight. Persan is a horse I like, trained by Mick Shannon, ran a couple of good races, particularly at Pontefract not so long ago, when the race didn't really pan out too favourably. I think off 81, this filly's got races in her, but she's just not quite firing as she can at the minute, but you don't rule her out.
No, not with that combination as well of jockey and trainer.
Yeah, they're doing well at the minute. They're combining for a few winners in the last few weeks.
They certainly are. Right, let's move east to Yarmouth for the final race we're going to look at on Monday's Racing Podcast. This one gets underway just 10 minutes later than the previous race we've had a look at, 4:40, and it's over the 1 mile and 2 furlongs. Again, it's a Class 4 race, and there are 11 runners here. What do we make of this one?
Yeah, interesting horse here. Cat Silver from the Sir Michael Stout stable. Very well bred and only recently returned from some time off. Was actually gelded during its absence and finished third at Chelmsford. Wasn't knocked about at all. Almost certainly going to come on for that. Definitely gave the impression that he wants to go beyond a mile. He's granted the stiffer stamina test on Monday for its handicap debut, and I think he can make the necessary step forward to make a successful handicap debut against horses that are, by and large, a lot more exposed than he is. The danger would be the Prescott horse, Ocean Ready. They put an advisor on Monday. They changed the headgear last time as well, so clearly responds favourably to, you know, a change of age, I suppose, keeps him on his toes. And he won his last start in, you know, typical Prescott fashion, you know, to the eye, sort of appeared to make fairly heavy weather of it, but definitely had a bit in hand, and under a £6 penalty, Ocean Ready is probably the danger. But I think Cat Silver, you know, he's fully expected to run his best race yet on Monday and make a successful handicap debut. I'll just mention one more as well, the Henry Candy horse, Medici Man. This horse has basically been frustrating, but they're putting the cheek pieces on Monday, and this horse has got form in better races than this. So if the new headgear did happen to trigger something better, then he's definitely got the form to feature. But Cat Silver is the tip.
Yeah, look out for Medici Man and Ocean Ready, but Cat Silver the tip in the 4:40 at Yarmouth. Before we go, just have a quick recap of the tips in each of the races. So 4:40, the Cat Silver, that's at Yarmouth. And in the 4:30 at Windsor, we were going for...
Yeah, Starlit Cantata. And then in the 4:20 at Salisbury, Estid Carr is taken to make a successful reappearance and get his career back on track. And then in 5:20, the stay-in handicap at Salisbury, it's the Otmore Poet.
There we are. That's Alistair's selections for Monday's racing. Of course, all of the odds can be found on the William Hill website under the horse racing tab, williamhill.com. Thank you very much for your company and good luck with all your bets.
Thank you.
And the Racing Podcast will be back for Tuesday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.